Hello, everybody, and welcome back. This is Amanda Moxley, and I am so happy that you're here. This is going to be an amazing Juicy Call Today interview series, I am Amanda Moxley, and I'm the Healthy Wealthy Biz Mentor, and I coach fun-loving, spirit women, you know, free spirits, really, who are on a mission with a vision how to create profitable, portable and playful businesses that rock and pop, and I also teach people how to end their money drama. And I gathered so many women from around the world. Today we're talking to a woman in Spain who is actually from the UK. Her name is Carly Hope, and other thought leaders in our industry, six and seven figure business women from all different continents, Canada, Australia, United States, United Kingdom, we've got Italy and Spain, and I'm probably forgetting a couple of countries at the moment. But anyway, to let you in on exactly what we did to catapult ourselves from where you may be now to having a profitable business and lifestyle that we used to only dream about. And I want you to have these like strategies, and every single woman that I'm interviewing has their own unique gifts and their talents and how they were, you know, how they have popped their biz. So I'm going deep and asking them questions to give you tangible how-tos and tips and tools and resources so that you can pop your biz. And I'm also asking them to spill all of their secrets, the good, the bad, and the truly heinous to make 2015 the year that you pop your biz. So without any further ado, I'm going to introduce Carly Hope to everyone. Now, I've known Carly as a friend for several years. I'd probably say since 2011 or 2012. And I personally watched her have two children and leave the United Kingdom and go to Spain and live this awesome lifestyle and create a successful business. And so I love her, and she's so bubbly and super fun. And I will now give you her professional bio so you know who she is. So Carly Hope is a life and business coach who supports women globally to live life full out. After a successful leadership career in corporate, she started a business supporting women worldwide to sell in a soulful way. Carly's work has facilitated more sales, more money, and more success in hundreds of businesses and lives through her practical and spiritual teachings. Carly takes a stand for working with love, integrity, fun, and joy, and brings this into all of her work. Carly lives in Spain with her two children, William and Rosa, and her soul man. All right, so welcome, Carly.
Oh, hi, Amanda. Do you know what? I love listening to that. High five that we've been doing this since 2011 and we've seen it all blossom and flourish for each other. How cool is that?
Oh, it is so cool. Yeah, it's amazing. Well, tell us a little bit more about your story. Tell us about your story, and you were in corporate and now you're an international leader and sales coach. So tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, okay. So my background was actually banking. My background before that, I'll give you the full scoop, was obviously school, like most people, where I really, really didn't like it, had a real huge disconnect with the system and rules and teachers, and I quit school, I went to college, I hated college as well, and I went to live in Spain for 3 years when everybody else was going to university. And obviously my poor parents despaired that I hadn't took the route that everybody else had, but I was determined to just experience life more so than experience school. And then ironically, I came back to England from having this really amazing time in Ibiza and Mallorca, and I landed myself a job in a bank, which, like, my parents were like, phew, you know, her life isn't over. She's got a great job. And the bank kind of took a chance on me, but it turned out that I absolutely was super successful there, because what I loved to do was just connect with people and look after the customers. And, like, I had a really good time there. So very quickly, I realized that I could stay and I could do really well. And by the age of 21, I was actually a bank manager. And
wow.
So, And so what I was, like my success was because not only did I teach myself how to sell and how to be motivated and how to have drive and desire, but I was always pretty good at teaching others how to do the same. And along that journey, I became like really fascinated with the mindset. Like I would teach somebody to sell and they had, just like me, no specific education or no reason why they would do well. But once they tapped into the desire and the why and the motivation, they were able to really flourish in their career. And then there were other people who just felt stuck and lost and had a lot of victim consciousness. And I was just really curious. And so I started studying the mind. I started studying NLP, positive thinking, law of attraction, and embarked on this amazing personal journey. But I didn't realize at the time, Amanda, it was a personal journey. I thought I was learning all this stuff just to teach it to my people in the bank. And as my career was progressing within the bank, like what was happening is that my spirit was coming to life, but it didn't quite fit in the bank. And so every morning when I was getting up and I was putting on like my navy blue suit and my navy blue shoes and I was getting on a train, it was like my spirit and my soul felt more and more and more crushed in this situation. Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel totally in integrity with the way that, you know, the bank were you know, really encouraging sales and business growth. And we now know that, you know, that was totally out of alignment the way the world was doing business back in kind of 2005. And so eventually I listened to this voice and I handed back, you know, the keys to my car and I resigned and I booked a plane and I went over to India and I hung out in India. Did loads of yoga and healthy eating. I studied NLP in India. I went to an ashram and just had this like really, really amazing awakening time. So I know it's pretty cliched, like I lost myself, I found myself in India, but I totally lived that cliche out and loved every single moment of it. And then when I came back to the UK, I was like, I really want to start a life coaching business. And so I had some business cards made and that was it really. I didn't know what else to do. And what I realized was that before I'd had the suit and the armor and the personality and the brand and even a flow of customers literally walking through the door, like without the persona that I had become in the bank, to suddenly be on my own, self-employed, trying to create a life coaching business, I felt totally, totally lost. And I'd also now created this disconnect between my old life, which was very material, very corporate, very tangible, very commercial, all about money. And then this new life, which was about, you know, just roaming barefooted around India, being very spirit-led, full of light and love, and not really about finance or money. And then in my head, I'd created this disconnect between you can either have the love and the light or the money and the dark, and hadn't really been able to marry these two worlds together. And so when I went out there to build my life coaching business, even though it'd been very, very, very successful, I couldn't ask for money. I couldn't charge anything. And everyone who came to me, I'd be like, oh, it's £40 and actually you can pay over 10 months. And actually we can just trade. And I had all of a sudden like real issue around money worth calling in anything that actually even paid the bills. And so I set off on this journey to go down to London and went to this huge Change Your Life, Change Your Business seminar. And I was in this seminar and I was like, this is it, this is going to do it for me. And like I felt the power and the intensity of the seminar. And the guy at the front, he said to me, like, he said to the whole of the audience, like, where you're going wrong if you're not in your coaching business is that you need a niche and you have to have a niche. And so rather than feel empowered and invigorated by this thing called a niche, I just totally melted down, Amanda. And I was like, I don't have my niche. And I spent months at home writing down pages and pages and pages of what could my niche be, and I rubbished every idea, and it was almost as if I was waiting for the Holy Spirit to ring my doorbell, and when I answered, go, Carly, here is your niche. And the more I affirmed, I don't have my niche, I don't have my niche, obviously all I was getting back was more confusion. And so eventually I did the thing that entrepreneurs never want to do. I wrote my CV, my resume, and I went back to work. And I went back, and I went back to work in recruitment, which it was like now 2007. The Lehman Brothers had just crashed. It was like thick recession. I punished myself by going to work in the most masculine, male-orientated recruitment business. Everybody was, you know, it's like the Wolf of Wall Street in there. And I placed myself in this situation and I was totally downbeat. And my mom came round and she was like, Carly, you remember the law of attraction? You've just got to think it. And I remember like being mom, like get out of my house with the law of attraction. Like I did that affirmation thing and look what happened to me. And so I was really licking my wounds, like really in victim consciousness. And then the one thing I did manifest was my son, William. So I was pregnant with William. And then that was kind of like my wake-up call to, like, think you can either face your reality or you can create your reality. And I looked at what I was doing, and every day I was back on the same commuter train that I'd already run away from. I was back wearing a suit. I was back being told what to do. But I wasn't like trying to do anything to get out of it. I was just feeling sorry for myself. And I went to seminars through work. And the only reason I went is that I knew it would be like a big party after. And the first speaker, he was this Irish guy called Mark Kelly, and he had this gorgeous Dublin drawl. And he came on stage to say that despite it being the worst recession in Ireland ever, he had still been the top performer in this business that we were both working for. And I looked at him and he was talking about how Ireland was really on its knees, but he didn't really care about that because he just created his own situation. And like it sparked something in me, it gave me myself back. And so rather than go to the party, in fact, I didn't even listen to any other speakers, I got in my car and I drove home. And in the car on the way back, Amanda, there was like really, really loud club music on that I'd been like really into when I was 18. And like I had this really amazing experience in the car where I felt so empowered and so alive and so in my vortex. And so I anchored the feeling of that to my steering wheel. And I made a vow that I would never again get the train into town and that I would always drive my car. And at the time, like it was £11 a day to park in town, and it was a huge stretch for me. Like I did not have £11 a day to spend on parking, but I knew that I needed to make a commitment to do like setting up my day in a whole different way. And so I spent my £11 and I went into that business. Like, didn't tell anybody that I was going to do this, but I made an intention that I was going to make enough money and leave that business and go start my own. And I work in part-time. I, like, made that company, like, £250,000 in 6 months. And nobody had ever done that before. And so what was then in front of me again was that I realized that I could kind of do it for anybody else, but I was struggling still to put the piece together around really owning my power in my own business. And so I knew what I needed to do was forget about the niche stuff, like ignore whether I had a niche or not, and just take some gentle action. So whereas before I was like, start your business, do 6 figures in 5 weeks, like punish yourself with these huge goals, I just kind of shimmied into my business and went like, let's just test the water. And I approached 3 people who I knew who I thought would want coaching, and all 3 of them was like, yep, I do. And all 3 of them was very interested in my sales background. And I was feeling more empowered about the fact that, like, I'd created this opportunity. I was doing a lot of work around my own personal worth, my own personal value, like my place in the market, giving myself permission to fully blossom into the woman that I am. And so I then was like, dipping my toe in, and that's not really who I am, but I'm happy that I've taken action. And so then I drew my line in the sand, to pick an Amok saying, like, I drew my line in the sand and I said, right, now we're doing it, now we're making it happen. And so I came up with a plan with a webinar, a tele summit, live events, and very quickly, I think we did 6 figures in 9 months, in sterling, and then went on to do multiple 6 figures. And I'm giving you like a really long story, so I hope you're enjoying the ride.
Along
that way, and there was obviously peaks and troughs. It didn't just get good and stay good. Like, there were always, I'm always riding the wave. But I had the opportunity to have a much-wanted second child. So I had a baby girl, and I moved to Spain, which was my intention for even thinking about what kind of business I could do from home. And then we came here. And then more recently, to share a deeper part of my truth, which was about a year ago now, like, I had this moment where I felt as though I was living a kind of sales page life. So, you know, in the sales page, it was like, oh, it was so awful for me, I was so broke, and now I'm so happy, and I've made all this money. And I had this moment where I felt like, Carly, you should feel grateful. But I felt a real disconnect emotionally to that life. And I felt a little bit like it all looked good on paper, but I felt kind of dead inside. And so my first thought was like, well, let's just drive harder. You obviously need to go for 7 figures. You need to be creating all this stuff. You need to get a bigger house, bigger car, et cetera, et cetera. And then all of a sudden, like, I realized that actually I was kind of on the business machine, and I hadn't really been connecting really with how I wanted to feel every day. And so I did this huge kind of personal revamp around what was really important to me, and created a huge space for a lot more lifestyle, a lot more spiritual development, and really just honoring being in my personal vortex every day, and really being filled with love and joy and brimming with the things that really make me come alive. And then since then, like, I had this moment where I was like, I don't even care if I do this business, I don't even care if I make this money. And then really connecting with those feelings has allowed me perhaps to come off the treadmill of my business and just allow it to unfold. And I'm now making probably, well, definitely more money, but it's not the money that I'm making that's exciting me. It's the way that I'm making it, and it's the way that it's given me the space to create the life that I really want to live. And that's what, like, I'm passionate about everybody experiencing, you know, not just the popping of your business, but the popping of your life, like you were talking about in your intro, like the real space, not to just go into hustle mode and, like, you know, really have to work your ass off to build your business, but this space where you can step into your divine power and really just be in alignment to attract in the way that's almost magical and mystical and mysterious. And that's me.
Right. Wow, well, that was a lot. Cool story. So that's where you are, is just like the trusting and the allowing, and, you know, so you were, you know, from the very early age, you knew you didn't like school, you didn't want to be in this corporate, and then you were in corporate, and then you quit, and then you went back, and even your mother was like, you understand the law of attraction, like, how cool of a mom is that? And then... And then you made that company so successful, and then you realize, hey, I can sell for someone else, but why can't I sell for me? And then you got, you know, you brought together your gifts of your marketing and your sales and, you know, your background with that, and then you started helping your own clients put together webinar. So that, and, you know, now, you know, manifested all these wonderful things. So tell us, you know, because that isn't really normal that, you know, people really just throw a webinar together and make six figures within 9 months. So what kind of like practical tools or tips can you give women who aren't really good at selling? They're great at selling for someone else, just like you were, but not good at selling themselves. Can you give us some tips on how these ladies can become better at soulful sales?
Yeah. So the first thing, like, I want to say is that when I made the decision to disconnect from my previous job in sales, which had all been around lies, manipulation, pushing people into things, like, you know, it was the Wolf of Wall Street. When I disconnected from that, I had to rebirth a totally new version of myself and my feelings around sales. And so sometimes people say, well, it's easy for you, Carly, because you've been in that sales role. But I think really with what's powerful in sales now, it's almost easier if you haven't. And so anybody who's listening is like, well, it was cool for Carly because she'd have that. Like, anybody can start with this because we are living in the most exciting times. We've been on the tipping point for so long, but our industry is thirsty for the utmost integrity. And anyone who's holding themselves in that regard has the most amazing opportunity to prosper. And I think what makes somebody good at sales is somebody who is packed out with integrity and hungry and thirsty to serve their people and to create an amazing life for themselves. And so what I have to do,
the passion and like I'm doing the desire to help, yeah, and the service. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I had to do this big piece of work to heal, first of all, how I felt about sales. And so that's what I encourage all of my people to do, all of my private clients to do, is to like look back, you know, like Amanda will teach you about your money story. Like, everybody has a sales story too. And it's about getting real on what that is. Because if we've been sold to in a way that didn't feel cool, or if we went and put ourselves out there and we got a lot of no's, and then we're shutting ourselves down energetically, like, it can be harder to come forward then and have these really empowering conversations with your ideal clients. Like, the piece around sales and being great at sales is more energetic than it is practical. Anybody can learn a sales process. You can go and Google right now, tap in sales process, tap in sales script, and you will have them coming out of your mind. And that's like 20%, 15% of the process. The rest is you and your energy and how you feel around really calling in your clients and your money. So the first place to go to is really around healing those wounds that have made you disconnect with what sales is. And the truth of sales, that it really is just the most beautiful opportunity for you to connect with the people who need you. And, you know, it's not about convincing anybody or manipulating anybody or selling anything that people don't need. And so the first part is really going back and giving lots of love and healing to those parts that have been left open and vulnerable and disconnected with this most powerful conversation. And then the energy, you know, what I teach my clients is that when you strip it all back, you know, this conversation is about speaking the truth and it's about having your needs met. And so energetically, if you just become an ambassador for in all areas of your life, speaking your truth and having your needs met, when we think about sales and getting on a sales call, we're really manifesting through our throat chakra. And our throat chakra is really in balance when we're really able to say what it is that we're thinking and feeling, and also that we use our voice and we use our communication to have our needs met. And so for me, the first thing to do is make sure that this is happening, not just in one area of your life, but in every area of your life. Is your body and your mind and your heart and your soul, is it conveying what it is that it really feels and thinks and wants and needs. Is this happening in your relationship with your love, with your mother, with your sister, with your friends, with your children, with your mentors? Is it happening between your body and your mind? Are you listening to when you're thirsty, when you're hungry? And are you honoring that truth? In your business, are you speaking about your real message, or are you playing it safe with what you think the market wants and where you can make your money? Or are you going deep to really think, like, what is my truth? What is my dharma and my purpose? And why am I on this planet right now? What message is ready to come through me? How can I be an open channel for that truth? Mm-hmm. And the opportunity to have your needs met, the opportunity to just be an ambassador and become an expert and a leader at always having your needs met. Are you having your needs met in your environment, in your relationships, in the bedroom? You know, are you just somebody who can easily receive in that kind of way where, you know, you're the sun is on your face and you're not worrying about it. You're just kind of leaning in and taking it all. If you can become a master at those things, then they say how we do one thing is how we do everything. And I think that gives us the most amazing base and opportunity for just becoming comfortable with actually using our voice, speaking our truth, and having our needs met too.
Mm-hmm.
And then the opportunity to, like, go into a sales call, into a webinar, into a sales conversation, like, by the time that you're in that call, if you're used to using your voice and you're used to speaking your truth, you're not going to find it uncomfortable. You're going to find it amazing. This is what you do. This is what you're excited about. And then I think on more of a practical point of view, it's to know that the sales call, you know, when you're one-to-one with somebody, it's meant, like, your job there is to be the leader, and it's to use your skills as a coach or a mentor, as a woman, as a healer, to really hold a space for that client to explore. And so what I see a lot of people doing with sales is kind of like diving into making offers, or the opposite, being very timid and not owning the space as the leader on the call. And so for, like, what I encourage people to do is to really do whatever they would do before a sales call, before a coaching call or a healing session, you know, ground themselves, call in whatever support they have. Give themselves the space and the time, and then really from the start of that call, go in as the leader. So you're not going in like, how are things? So you just been to Hawaii on Facebook, how was that? And you're in like a friend energy. I encourage people to go in from the start and make it really safe for the clients. Mm-hmm. So that you're going in and saying, like, here's what's going to happen. Like, even if you're friends, even if you've been hanging out on social media, like, right now in this space, you're able to feel safe because I'm going to lead you. And this is what the call's going to look like. And here's what it's going to feel like. And I'm going to ask you some questions. And then I'm going to give you some support and a summary and some feedback. And at the end of the call, like, if it's okay with you, we might talk about how we could work together at a deeper level. And all along the way, like, what we're doing is we're letting the client know this is what's happening, this is why it's safe. You lean back, you feel at ease exploring where you're at, where you want to be at, what the gap looks like, what your resistance is. And, like, none of that feels like traditional sales. It really just feels like this gorgeous, open, gentle conversation where you're able to help a client move from the place that they want to be, you know, the place that they're in now, into the place that they want to be at. And it's so much fun, and it's so easy. And so, like, anyone who feels any resistance to sales is, like, I want to just encourage you to, like, really have a look at what it truly is, which is just this most blissful and beautiful opportunity for your client to explore and for you to hold a space, and then for you to invite them to work with you in a way which is only based on their needs and nothing else.
Yeah, that's exactly how I do my calls as well. So it is true. It's just a really nice warm up, and it's a connection, and it's just you're not there to get anything or take anything or make a sale. You're really there to serve and to connect and to support, and there's so much that happens in that enrollment conversation. I mean, they're saying yes to their dreams, their desires, like what they want. What a lot of people, you know, a lot of my clients always say, okay, what do you say when they say they don't have the money, or, you know, those kind of objections? And of course, I have my ways of coaching my clients, but since we have you here, what are your ways of, how do you help when your client, when someone says, I don't have the money or I can't afford it? Like, obviously, I know it's not about the money, it's about something else, but how do you help people with that? How do you help them get to the other side, or, you know, coach them around, you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, of course. So the first thing with that, from a, like, if you're a coach and you're making loads of offers and everyone's like, hey, I would love to work with you, but I need to go away and I need to manifest the money and I don't have it right now, then there's a few things that could be out of sync with your alignment to creating your ultimate dreams. And that's the first thing, is that, like, it might be a block around your energy to receiving. And so, like, for you to, I mean, utopia is that we go into these conversations and we're so, like, wide open for business energetically. Like, I talk about this a lot with my clients, Amanda, and it's like, imagine a shop, and a shop, like, on the front door, it might have, like, a sign that says open or closed. The business is open or closed. And I think, like, as online entrepreneurs, we almost have these on our heart. We're like, energetically open or energetically closed. And you know when you're wide open because you're like posting on social media and everything you want to say is coming through you, and it's like you're really putting yourself out there. And you know when you're closed, and it's a feeling as well, because you might be going through the paces, but you're still energetically closed. You don't really want the clients, you don't really want to put yourself out there. You know, you're procrastinating, you're hiding. And so the first thing to do is, whenever you've got a lot of people saying, I'd love to, but no, is kind of look within yourself. Like, are you really open for these clients? Are you really wanting to serve these people, to receive right now? And it might be that the answer for you is no, and make peace with that and go retreat and bloom when you're ready. And it might be that you recognize that you're not, but you want to be, and you can open up so that you're more open for business. And that might look like, you know, blogging more videos, more webinars, more social media posts. It might not even mean more in terms of the volume, but it might mean more in terms of your content. Like, are you really sharing those 3 a.m. downloads? Are you really showing up to be that leader that the world is ready for you to be? And the more of that you do, the more you'll find that your sales calls are easier. And utopia is that you just jump on a call with somebody, they're already kind of like, yep, I want to work with you, I just need to figure a few things out, ask you a few questions, and you go on to this really warm call where you're both hanging out, you're having a lot of laughter, you know, you explore a few things, and then that person signs up, and there's no huge resistance, and that's where everybody is working towards, and you can get towards that easier by really being open for business online. And, you know, your blogs and your videos and your posts, they're like your mini salespeople. They're the people doing the real work. And then when you jump on the call, it's always going to be so much easier. And it's like, the other thing. Yeah, sorry, Amanda, what was that?
I just love the ease and the lightness of what you're sharing. It's like, it's not hard, you know, it's like light and bubbly and open. This is good. Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah. So the other thing, like, I would check in energetically if you're experiencing this is, not just are you open for business, but are you being living out an example of the client that you want to be? So are you taking action in your own business? Are you investing in yourself? You know, is your personal wealth consciousness high? If you're expecting your clients to invest 10K in you, but you're running your own business on a shoestring, it's like you'll know that you're out of integrity. And really, the ease and the money, like, we can get all hung up on the sales process, But I know that there's times when, like, I go through and I am such a ninja when it comes to selling, and I do it all textbook, and if there was a sales award, I would win it, and that client still says no, and that's because I'm not in my vortex. And so if you're in your vortex, you never have to work as hard. If you're in alignment with your message and your life and your love and you're just feeling totally on fire, like, I know that the human race doesn't really dig on the advice that your job is just to experience joy, because so many of us want to go, no, it's not, it's to work hard. But if you're listening to this and you follow Amanda, that, you know, you'll know that really your job as a salesperson or a business owner is just to get in your freaking vortex and just to be an absolute channel of love and joy and laughter. And so sometimes when we're getting a lot of resistance from our clients, we start to crank up the volume and overcome the objections harder and get more sales booked in and go into hustle mode. And really the best thing you can do is ignore building your business. Go walk on the beach. Go listen to your children laughing. Go drink green juice or champagne. Like, go dancing. Do whatever, like, puts you into that space. And then when you get back on the phone, it's all going to be so much easier.
And oh, then I love it.
Yeah, like, it's the best advice ever, isn't it? It's like your job is just to go out there and love life. Uh-huh. And then practically, sorry, Amanda, there's a little bit of a delay, which is why I keep speaking over you.
Okay.
And then the practical thing that I would do, if somebody tells me that they really want to work with me but they don't have the money, the first thing I'm looking to understand is this the truth? So, like, in Selling with Soul, like, we're big on truth. So we speak the truth and we always want to hear the truth. So most people are really too polite, especially in Britain, to say, you know what, it's just not for me right now, Carly. So a lot of people say, well, I'd love to, but this is the situation. And so the first thing that we want to do before we do anything is just go, like, is that really it? Are there any other questions? And we're just kind of like tuning into, you know, is this the smoke screen? Is this the truth? And like, you're going to get the vibe for this intuitively just by asking a few more questions. And so I'm only going to even overcome an objection. And I'm only going to go to that part if somebody's like, Carly, I'm there 100%, but I don't yet see where the money's coming from. If they're like, I'm not really sure, or actually, you know, it's not for me, I'm never going to overcome their objection. I'm going to send them bags of love, send them on their way, hang out with them on social media, and respect that all I'm actually looking for at the end of the call is clean energy. It's not a yes, it's not a no, it's just a clean energy. I feel like such a big girl, Amanda. I feel so grown up when I've just got to clean energy at the end of the call. I'm like, oh, I'm so grown up. So even when it's a no, it still feels really good because it's clean.
Oh, that's so true. Beautiful.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting to be in that place. And so if they're like, yeah, Carly, like, I want to do it, but yeah, like, right now I don't know where it would come from, then the first thing I'm going to do is ask for permission. So asking for permission sounds like I have a few questions that I ask some people like you who want to do this, but they don't know where the money would come from. Is it okay if I run through them with you? And the reason that I ask that question is that we're going to shift the energy now of the call. We're going to take people into another space. I'm going to ask some questions that for some people, they might think as the person asking the client the question or the person hearing the question, like, why are you asking me that? But if I've already asked for permission, then like the client's really comfortable hearing the question and I'm really comfortable asking it. And it's a bit like, you know, when you go for a massage, if that person didn't come in and say to you, well, you know, I'm going to place a towel here and is it okay if I touch you here? You know, if they just walked in and suddenly you were naked with, you know, it might feel like, well, hold on, what's going on here? And you're not able to enjoy the massage because you're busy thinking, hey, you just whipped my knickers off and now I'm lying here naked. And so the sales part is the same kind of thing. Like, I don't want any of my clients to go, well, why are you asking me about my finances? That's private. So I've asked for permission before I've gone to this space, and then it's really easy for me to ask and really easy for my clients to answer. Mm-hmm. And those questions look like things like, you know, if you were to have the money, where would it come from? And we just do like the brainstorming and the mapping of, you know, where the money could come from. And like when people are committed, it's amazing what resources we have to create money. But also for many people, you know, it's that they have money in savings, they have money on credit cards, they have money in their current account. It's just this piece around, can you really give yourself permission to spend that money? And if you think about our jobs and our businesses and our missions and our purpose, we're in the industry of transformation. This is not like, hey, do you want to buy a television? This is like, hey, do you want to change your life? You know, all those problems and dramas and challenges that you've personally manifested because they serve a purpose in your life. You're saying, hey, pay this money and have these calls, and then your life looks totally different. And so, of course, like, we have to honor that for some people, they'll just be totally ready. But for others, they might have that resistance. And it's not just about the money. It's can they really say yes to this bigger and fuller version of themselves and their life? And so that part at the end where you're guiding them through resistance, that's not about you, that's about them. And the more you can hold a space and help them move that resistance and speak the truth and give them the feedback and say what needs to be said and help them to move forward into a life that they totally desire and deserve, then like that's you being of service. That's not you coming forward and being a good salesperson. Sales has nothing to do with this. This is about you holding a space for that person to totally get near to where they want to be.
Oh, I love it. Okay, well, you have given us so many tips, and you also have a free gift. So it's And so people can take this with you, take, you know, what we've started today. It's a 4-part Selling with Soul video series, and that's a script teaching you how to be a leader and to create the great results on all of your sales calls. So you all can get that on the speaker page, and we do have to wrap up because it's the top of the hour here, but I am so grateful for all these juicy gems you gave us so much. Thank you so much, Carly.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Do you want to share one last thing, and then we'll wrap it up? And then I will say that you are invited to our Facebook party, so you're welcome to come in and interact with the ladies in that group as well.
Yeah, well, I'll see everybody over at that party, and and any questions, like, feel free to tag me, and I'll answer them. But I just want to thank you so much, Amanda. I can't believe it's the top of the hour. Just on a roll.
I know.
Sharing so much.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, thank you. It's been great. Well, thank you, everyone, all in this international series. Thank you so much for being here. I know we got a lot from Carly today, so re-listen to this one a couple times. Thanks for being bold and sharing your amazing story and lighting up this whole sales thing. It's like fun, it's joyful, it's about being in the vortex, it's about feeling good, and like it's not about being salesy. So thank you, seriously, thank you. All right, everyone, have a gorgeous day wherever you are in the world, and I'll see you in the Facebook party. Namaste. Bye, Carly.
And bye.